invited his audience, listeners, politicians, and the youth in order to follow the, we can say, Islamic akhlaq and the rulings and Islamic rulings. And he elaborated on them very beautifully. You can also refer to Khamenei.ir or leader.ir in order to have the English translation and all the languages of his outstanding speeches regarding Islamic akhlaq. So for today, we are concerned with that part of his speech of the leader, which talks about self-recognition and self-building, inviting the people and all the human beings all across the world, regardless of the race or religion, to have akhlaq hasaneh, or having good manners or good ethic, or we can say, or morality. And the path through that is, as he says, khudshanasi, or self-recognition, or self-knowledge. Said Mohsen, first of all, give us an elaboration on this term itself. What does it mean when in Islam and in Islamic ethics, as also Ayatollah Khamenei elaborated, we say we must have self-knowledge of ourselves and self-recognition?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is one of the most important topics that is being addressed in the Quran. And obviously the basics of Islam is based, or the pillars of Islam is also based on this self-recognition and self-building. We know that when we talk materially, for example, if materially if I talk, most of the time we talk in the sense of the money or the benefits or what outcome will I have. But in Islam we know that everything is based on justice.
That's right.
And one cannot get a justice, or one cannot do a justice unless until he is just. In order to become just, he has to self-build himself. He has to obviously self-recognize himself. He has to basically, I can say, like, he has to build himself in a way that in all aspects of his life, whether it is concerned to his children,
that's right,
maybe wife, maybe neighbors, parents,
that's right,
the other people in the community, in the school, in the workplace, wherever he is living. On top of that, also in the society or environment or this world or nature where we are, he has to be just in all cases, mm-hmm, and also with himself as well.
That's right.
And
which is very difficult, you know.
Yes.
Because when we are saying these things, for our, some of our dear listeners might not be familiar with we can say self-contemplation or in Islam. It might be very difficult that how is it possible to know yourself? Do you have psychological problem, the in quotation they might say? Do you want to know yourself? So what about the others? What about the society around? And this is what is unfortunately in the Western world, that the people are recognizing themselves through the other channels. I mean, rather than interior design, they are going for the ulterior design to know themselves.
And also they have a fake recognition of themselves. That's the main problem.
Okay.
Because this media or outer means that we are talking, you're referring to, they all are giving a fake definition of human being. The true definition of human being is given in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 30, verse 30, he says that فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah has created everyone on his fitrah, which means that he has created everyone equally and with the power to reach to the perfection that he wants.
That's right.
And to reach to the perfection where he will be just in all cases.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah has created him this way.
That's all right.
And also we have a saying from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba. Whoever
right.
recognizes himself
mm-hmm.
or knows himself,
yes.
he definitely will know about
recognize
his Lord.
Right.
And this also refers to that we are basically, I think I mentioned this before in one of the programs, that we are two-dimensional,
mm-hmm.
2D.
Yes,
I used this
2D.
Term before, like 2D.
Yes.
We have 3D movies or 4D movies
yeah.
now, four dimensions.
4K, full HD,
yes.
but we are 2D.
We are 2D. We
okay.
have a soul and a body.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is obviously, that is the main character,
mm-hmm.
and the body is for this world in order to just live in this
that's
world.
Right.
And that's a mean, basically.
Okay.
in order to get to the perfection. But the main perfection is for the soul itself.
That's all right.
When it is said like we need to have self-recognition, it's basically referred to the soul, that you need to know what is the need of your soul.
Okay.
What do you need? Obviously, you know, today we see that the people are after peace, inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
That inner peace is referring to soul. For that, they go for yoga, for exercises, dancing, I don't know, music and all those.
Yeah.
Still, they're not finding that inner soul.
Different threat
inner,
is
inner,
that right?
Inner peace.
Okay.
Why? Because the soul, the need of soul is not being provided to the soul.
That's all right.
It's
Thank
not
you
being sustained.
Thank you very much, Sayyid. Let's get to Brother Ali Alavian. So, as Rahbar said, Islam means self-building and self-recognition. And Islam, in fact, prepares the ground for the humanity all across the world, regardless of the color, of the language, in order to know himself, and through this self-recognition and self-knowledge, make a connection or bridges a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. This is very important for a religion like Islam, because usually when we are talking about the religion, the first thing that comes to the people is the outerial look. I mean, the thing that is outside the world of yourself in order to reach it, and then connect yourself to something supernatural. But everything that starts from the fitrah, as Sayyid said, and inside yourself. What's your take on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, one of the primary steps to improvement of the soul, improvement of the self, is to know what the self is, and what actually is, and what the soul is. And one of the actually primary steps even to understand and recognize the philosophy of your existence in universe is to know about yourself and your own existence. And that's a way again to know God and perfection, and as it is known as a introduction to know God, to
That's
recognize
right.
God. And it can happen through deep thinking, pondering on what the self is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know what the self, what we are actually, inshallah ta'ala, we shall put, we shall step in the way of perfection, because we human beings come here to reach to a perfection.
That's right.
A human perfection, what we call it, Kamal. And
That's
this
right.
is the target and the, let's say, end of our the end of this creation.
The final goal of every humanity.
So for that, we need to start from the very beginning. What is the very beginning? Is it to know others first, or to know their society first, and to know whatever is around us? No, we need to start from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start from ourselves, we naturally find a connection to what has created us. That is the soul, which is a connection between us, the God. And the
okay.
soul is actually a way that we can connect and understand and recognize what the Creator is.
So you mean by self-recognition is every day and in every moment to think about how you were created,
mm-hmm.
or how you are finding a kind of evolution in your life?
We need to ponder and think about ourselves, who we are, what are we doing, what
okay.
have, why have we come to this world?
Mm-hmm.
What are the different aspects of me?
Okay.
So thinking deep inside ourselves.
That's right.
And then slowly, slowly, inshallah, with Allah's blessings and Allah's favor, we can, inshallah ta'ala, step in recognition of God, as
mm-hmm.
the even the hadith and narrations have
okay.
frequently actually been narrated and told us and reported, and they
right.
Actually emphasize this point that man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabb. So why through the recognizing and knowing the self one can reach to knowing God? It is because in us there is, as the brother said, there is another aspect of it, there is another dimension of us, which
That's
is
right.
the soul.
That's right.
And this is the way that we can connect to the Creator. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, that أَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, from my own soul I have actually
blown into you.
Blown into you.
Into your soul. That's right.
Through the soul that he has blown to us, mm-hmm. we can find a way into him.
Okay.
So it's actually an introduction
Very
to
good.
Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in case we know ourselves, we know the environment, the people around us, the environment around us. So I think we have reached to the purpose of creation, that is Kamal. We have started to know what Kamal is. But since we have not yet actually understood the importance and greatness of this topic, whatever we say, and it looks like a myth to us, that what we are saying, what we're talking about, since we have not yet actually done whatever we need to do, and we have not pondered in ourselves to see how great human being is, how great ourselves is. So sometimes it looks like, for example, talking about something which does not have any reality.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who have actually done the primary steps and actually entered the way of perfection and the spiritual journey which is going to reach us to the perfection, it shows that there are some realities in this world that we have been unaware of, and we need to revive ourselves and go back to the origin of ours.
That's right. Okay, thank you much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Inshallah, Allah help us on this path of recognizing ourselves in a true manner, and do not forget that everything pass is through the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having reading the Holy Quran and respecting for our parents, and also having a good ustaz or teacher is very much important. If our dear listeners are really interested in the concept self-building, I introduced the book Self-Building, written by Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini, the late Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini. We missed him recently, past 1 year, translated by Sayyid Hussein Alamdar. This is a really nice book, gives you practical guidelines how to build yourself and recognize yourself as a path through Allah's recognition. It was very kind of you, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Thank you very much.
You're
and
welcome.
Dear listeners of iRed English Radio, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints and Analysis on the Speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Visit our website, parstoday.com/Iran Call of Islam page, also our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. May Allah bless you all. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, there you are, guiding me through. Whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked and
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech from IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen Kharrazi. Please stay tuned. How orderly are these galaxy and the world in which we live? All the discoveries that were made during the history by astronomers and astrologists have been based on the order of the celestial bodies and planets. If it was not so, then they could not find such an order and symmetry in their calculations. Now, the interesting point is that if there is a mistake or problem in calculations, it is with the sciences and their interpretations and not the systematic and orderly manner of the creation by Allah. In other words, solar system is working based on the order that was destined for it by Allah.
الان این چیزهایی که می‌فرستند به کرات دیگه تمام اینا بر اساس همون
This point is completely witnessed in the discoveries of spaceships to the other planets too. The spaceships are able to reach their destinations only if they are in harmony with order of the solar system and the other planets. In fact, there is a specific calculation in their works, but their calculations adjust the higher calculations that were made by Allah in the whole solar system. These are all the signs of the wisdom of Allah in His creation of the galaxy. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Khalaf Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen Kharrazi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en, Khalaf Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
limelight.
As millions of Americans stand on the brink of economic annihilation, the money keeps flowing to Wall Street thanks to carefully contrived mechanisms to maintain a dying financial system afloat, says Raul Diego Ryder in an article published under the heading, "With rent freezes about to expire, Mnuchin lobbies for more Wall Street bailouts." Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. The United States Treasury Department keeps a stash of taxpayer money and uses it for currency speculation. The massive profits from the secret market activities can be used for things like funding foreign governments and many other applications at the discretion of the President administration. This slush fund was the central funding vehicle for the multiple economic relief facilities enacted in the CARES Act and is operated by the Federal Reserve on behalf of U.S. Treasury Department. The spigot from the money machine was opened briefly for the general public through the emergency legislation, but Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is getting ready to cut it off, even as he hopes he opens it even further for Wall Street. By January 2021, renters in America will owe $34 billion to their landlords, according to global investment bank and advisory firm Stout. More than half of the eviction moratoriums enacted to avoid an upsurge in homelessness during COVID lockdowns have been rescinded, including a federal moratorium that expired in July. Rent and landlord relief programs across the U.S. take up the lion's share of CARES Act funding allocations, with states like Virginia having already spent over 38% of the money reserved for renters by early November. As the money runs out and the December 31st CARES Act cutoff date approaches, states are fumbling to keep enough cash in their coffers to stem the tidal wave evictions that are at doorstep and leaking through profusely. Cases like that of Ricky Johnson, as reported by the Virginian Pilot, are happening nationwide and show how landlords are getting around moratorium rules and successfully evicting tenants over technicalities and dubious legal maneuvers. It was only through the efforts of a staunch group of friends and housing advocates that Johnson was able to avoid ending up on the streets with his brother. With their help, the Johnson brothers convinced a judge to vacate a previous order awarding possession of the property to a management company and managed to extend their stay of execution a paltry few weeks into next year. But in the rapacious economic climate that characterizes the American real estate market, 3 months rent-free can feel like a gift from the gods. Mnuchin was deliberately misleading about where that money actually goes, since it lays bare a massive slush fund called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, or ESF, at the heart of these enormous giveaways to the biggest, richest, and most ruthless banks. Of the total 13 facilities created by Treasury, Secretary Mnuchin had asked to spare only those which pertain to financial institutions like Citigroup and a handful of usual suspects. In a formal letter to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell in late November, Mnuchin instructed the Fed to extend four programs directed at helping Wall Street beyond December, while drawing the curtain down on the remaining facilities and preening about programs like Main Street Lending Program and their supposed success in abating an economic downturn during the pandemic. Mnuchin's declaration of victory is at odds with the reality of people like Dana Imus, who lost her job at a forklift operator in March and hasn't been able to get a job since. Her landlord simply refused to recognize the federal eviction moratorium issued by the CDC in October. Similar problems occur throughout the U.S. as property owners circumvent the laws through intimidation and legislative loopholes to force tenants out. Tawanda Mormon from Cleveland, Ohio, was thrust into a couch surfing lifestyle when the 46-year-old was hospitalized in August and fell behind on her $500 rent. Despite the CDC moratorium, Mormon was evicted in October and has been staying with friends and family. In Missouri and North Carolina, judges refused to abide by the CDC's notice, and landlords across the nation have been fighting the order in the court. Among the loopholes being used to put people out of their homes, that the CDC's order only applies to non-payment of rent, which allows landlords to bring an eviction case on virtually any other grounds, such as excessive noise or trash. In addition, the CDC made the process more onerous for tenants seeking to avail themselves of moratorium protections by giving landlords the right to challenge the veracity of their claims. Mnuchin's request that four credit facilities for the financial sector be spared the December 31st deadline while pulling the cord on all the relief programs for small businesses and regular Americans included in the CARES Act feels like politics, as an incoming Biden administration is set to use the coming housing crisis as a springboard for sweeping legislative action as potentially millions of people start to fall through the cracks come January. Meanwhile, big banks continue to receive their billion-dollar stipends from Uncle Sam without interruption. Two of the four programs Mnuchin wanted off the chopping block are zombies from 2008 financial collapse. The primary dealer credit facility, PDCF, which targets large banking institutions, and back then extended $8.95 trillion in secret below market rate loans to three trading houses, constituting two-thirds of the original program's total disbursements, and the commercial paper funding facility, CPFF, which makes the Fed the buyer of last resort for loans in broader economy, thereby providing liquidity in short-term funding markets like small business loans. The Money Market Mutual Fund Liquidity Facility, that is MFFL, directed at the hedge funds and non-bank financial entities, and the Paycheck Protection Program Liquidity Facility, which protects PPP loan originators from borrower default, round out the rest. Financial data for these programs are kept secret by the Fed, with the exception of the Paycheck Protection Program Liquidity Facility. According to Mnuchin's letter to programs whose data is verboten use core EFS funding. In other words, the money comes from a slush fund operated by the Fed on behalf of the Treasury Department and is where the aforementioned $429 billion Mnuchin is disingenuously requesting back from the Fed actually is. The shell game between Treasury and the Fed keeps the money flowing on Wall Street year-round. In September 2019, the Fed moved $9 trillion culminatively into Wall Street's trading houses via repo loans, whose recipients are hidden from the public by the Fed policy on its open market operations, which fund the loans. By using the ESF to fund the federal relief facilities contained in the CARES Act, the Treasury avails itself of the Fed's secrecy policy on open market operations, which don't have to be made public until 1 year after the facility is terminated at the earliest, as stipulated in Section 1103 of the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Legislation of 2010. Requesting an extension for the four Wallace Street geared facilities until March 2021 also extends the time it will take for such records to see the light of day. According to Wall Street on Parade, it is likely that when disclosed, the financial data for these secret market operations will include the names of long-standing beneficiaries of government largesse. The point of the game is to prop up America's predatory financial sector, which has been going full throttle since 2008 financial crisis, when these types of facilities were created to prevent the country's biggest financial firms from going into a liquidity crisis as they scoured the globe for more markets to squeeze. Mnuchin's letter came 2 weeks after Democratic senators delivered a message of their own to the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury in which they called for two facilities in the CARES Act meant for the regular citizen, specifically the Main Street Lending Program, MSLP, and the Municipal Liquidity Facility, MLF, to be kept on and reformed. Signed by Senators Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, Mark Warner, and Sherrod Brown, the letter makes a case for the expansion of these financial assistance programs, citing statistics which reflect the permanent closure of thousands of small businesses and declining revenue across the service economy. The reality of crashing GDP numbers amid the pandemic tells the story, which includes a 41% decrease in the number of self-employed black business owners between February and April, and a litany of cases that show the disproportionate economic impacts on minorities and women caused by the pandemic and related restrictions. The senators shed light on some of the major problems regarding these facilities and how they are set up to bypass the most economically vulnerable populations by requiring applicants to meet an income threshold that leaves out the vast majority of working-class Americans. In addition, they point to the billions of dollars left unused in the relief effort which Mnuchin wants to keep in the ESF. Fed Chairman Powell is quoted in the letter acknowledging that the MSLP currently targets larger businesses rather than a lot of minority businesses. The senators called for reforms that would change this by lowering the application threshold from $100,000 to $50,000 and expanding eligibility criteria to open the funds to more than the paltry 250 businesses currently eligible for the MSLP facility. The fact that Mnuchin ignored the informed pleas of the Democratic senators is immediately chalked up to partisan politics. But a gesture of goodwill by the outgoing administration does not help cement the division both parties exploit to achieve the aims of the interests that ultimately control them. A desperate population facing evictions, food shortages, and falling income opportunities will find it difficult to resist any offers of federal help that come their way. It is, however, more important than ever, as Americans are sheep herded into a dark winter, that they keep their eyes open. The question is whether there will be a real justice behind any new programs or legislation brought forward to deal with a crisis that has been looming for a while.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief, where we are trying our best to answer your questions when it comes to the different dimensions of the Islamic belief. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and in the studio, we have our dear Islamic scholar, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum to you, and thank you for coming.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
I'm going to dive straight into my question here from one of our dear listeners. And the question, dear Sayyid, is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to speak with illiterate persons or people, and mostly shepherds? They were mostly shepherds. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to speak with people who were philosophers of ancient Greece or ancient Persia or the Babylonian civilization, Babylon, and Egypt, and China, or India? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to speak with shepherds, lonely in the desert with their sheep?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it looks like the person who have asked the question have not read history properly, or he could not understand the history, what has come in the history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed his verses, or he talked to the prophets. And in some cases we have, like for example, in the case of the mother of Musa alayhi salam, he had this revelation, but it wasn't like direct. It was some kind of inspiration.
Right. Ilham.
Ilham. Right. It wasn't ilham for her. So
intuition.
We have one prophet to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked, and we call him Kalimullah, and that is Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Kalimullah means the one who talks to Allah, who has spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, without any mean. Even there is a mean also. In the Islamic context, when we see, there are the means. But we call him Kalimullah. It wasn't through the angel. That's why we call him Kalimullah, because it wasn't through the angel. Generally, Gabriel alayhi salam used to come, and obviously he used to convey the message of Allah.
Nabi Musa alayhi salam talks straight to the
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
without any hijab.
Without any hijab.
Any veil in between.
It might be. Through a mean, but it wasn't the angel itself. For
right.
example, when he went to the tree, next to the tree, Allah spoke him when he saw a light, and we had that which he had, like obviously on the mountain of Tur, he was speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the problem is the person who have asked the question, they did not understand the history. We have in the history that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked his prophets to become shepherds for a time, for a limited time, to do this job. Why? The philosophy was, the logic was that when they become shepherd, they have to manage these cattle and the sheep and all those things. When they do that,
management.
The management, yes, to manage them, to basically know how
to be the leader of a flock.
Yes. Why? It's because when they go back to the peoples are like cattle and the sheep. One is going this way, another is going that way.
Right.
Even in the,
but
in
we
them,
don't want to disrespect
no,
anyone.
No, it's not
the
disrespect.
It
we are
respect.
Giving. We are giving the
right.
the
an example
the similarities
right.
between them and there. You know, in the cattle, what happened is there is an old cattle who's in the front of the whole, the group, and wherever that old cattle goes, everyone follows them. In the society, we see like if someone has said something, or maybe posted something on the Facebook, YouTube, or anything, everyone is following that.
Yes.
Blindly. This is blind following. The cattle, they blindly follow the old cattle because that old cattle knows the way towards the house. So they blindly just follow
the old sheep, you mean?
The old sheep and old cattle. In all the groups, like the shepherd, they have an old sheep and old cattle.
No, cattle is a gathering name. It's a general
cattle
name.
Is cow.
All of it. Cows, sheep, all of it is called cattle.
So they have one old animal there.
Okay.
Even if there is the cattle or there is the group of sheep. In both cases. Why? Because that old one knows the way towards the house. And right. It was going through his whole life. So they put him in the front and everyone is following them blindly. Because we also blindly follow people in our original life, that's why these prophets were ordered to become a shepherd. These prophets were not illiterate. These prophets were not someone who were like ignorant. They were the philosophers, because when you look at the sayings of these prophets, the way they were talking to the people, they were the most respectful person in the society. For example, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he was the most respectful. Yes, because he was against Pharaoh, that's why the people, the group of the army of Pharaoh or the government was against him. Otherwise, he was a scholar, he was a philosopher, he was, you can say, the most literal person in his society. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the people, they used to respect them. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, who became the vizier, we can say
the king of Egypt. Right.
In the Egypt, if we say like he wasn't a knowledgeable person, if we say that he was a mere we can say illiterate person, it is something which is not fair. The only point is we did not understand the history itself. Being shepherd, it was their duty. Not showing themselves at a certain age was their duty. For example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophecy at the age of 40. Before that, he was just practicing according to his knowledge and what Allah has given him, the knowledge that Allah has given him, and he was known and as the most trustful and the truthful person amongst the society.
Most trustworthy and truthful.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
There is one more thing. There might be a question that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not had his basic learnings or the schoolings from any teacher. It is not
like many other prophets.
Like many other prophets,
right?
It's because Allah subhanahu wa taala has taught them
divine knowledge.
The divine knowledge He has given them. The divine knowledge. They know beyond these things that we are talking about.
Right.
They know all these things from before. So they were extraordinary people as well.
Yeah, exceptional people so in the history. But if someone says that if the Prophet was born in, for example, ancient Persia, he would be a great mathematician. If he was born in ancient Greece, he would be a famous and prominent philosopher, and so on and so forth. In Egypt, he would be an astronomer. So there was this destiny, this fate that that prophet should be born in the Arabian Peninsula, in that desert area, and in that small village called Mecca, so that nothing in the society would penetrate him. Nothing would have its influence or effect on his personality. Maybe that might be a good reason.
Well, I will say, just excuse me for this, because, you know, even when you look at the history, we can see like these mathematicians, the father of surgery, all these were the Muslim scholars, okay? And where did they get this knowledge from? It's from Quran.
It's from the teachings. I'm talking about before Islam.
No, even,
talking before,
even
Islam.
Before Islam. Even before Islam. Tell me that a prophet who can make bridge, 12 bridge for a nation on the river when Pharaoh is basically is chasing them, and he can make 12 paths on the river for Bani Israel, the tribe of Israel. Does he do not know the mathematics? Does he do not know the other things? It's beyond all these things. But obviously, in that time, you know, even we don't have enough things, enough, we can say, like original books or resources from our 500 years ago. Not all of them.
Right.
1,000 years ago, not all of them. So there might be a lot of things at that time. Look at the example of, let me give you the example of Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salam. You know, the palace that he made, the tomb that he had, Sulaiman, alayhi salam, the kingdom that he had.
Yeah, the temple of
the Sulaiman
in Quds, in Jerusalem.
If they want to look, if they want to see that scientifically, through the mathematically calculations, I don't know, you can consider it in all aspects, the architecture as the perspective, in the perspective of architecture, in all those perspectives, it's a perfect
geometry,
it's Allah perfect
Akbar. Right,
it's all perfect. And how he did it, because he had the knowledge of that at that time. Yes, that knowledge has been not transferred in the history to us. That's something else. There might be many people
but
who
had
were
divine
good
knowledge.
Scientists or the good scholars, but their knowledge is not being transferred to us. That is another issue. We need to talk about this issue, that why their knowledge is not being transferred. But we cannot say because the knowledge is not being transferred, we cannot say like they were illiterate.
Right.
Or they were mere shepherd.
Thank you very much, Sayyidina. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us in this program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. And please forward your questions to us. Continue the good job. And until next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you.
إن في الجنة نهرا لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا لبن إن في الجنة نهرا لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا له
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
U.S. wage data released recently reveal the continuation of a trend that began at the end of 1970s and which has given the United States of America the dubious distinction of having the worst income inequality among most developed countries. While U.S. income inequality is the worst among most developed nations, its wealth inequality is even more egregious. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Brett Wilkins, writer. This article is published under the heading, New U.S. Data Show Income of Top 1/10% Soared 345%, while that of bottom 90% stagnated over past 40 years. Here's the details of this article. U.S. wage data released recently revealed the continuation of a trend that began at the end of 1970s and which has given the United States of America the dubious distinction of having the worst income inequality among most developed nations. The Economic Policy Institute reports that between 1979 and 2019, the top 1% of people in the U.S. whose mean income was nearly $738,000 in 2018 have enjoyed 160% income growth, while wages for the bottom 90% have stagnated, rising just 26% over the same 40-year period. The figures showed massive inequality even among the top 1%, as the highest 1/10%, those making an average of $2.82 million, skyrocketed 345% since 1979. While U.S. income inequality is the worst among most developed nations, its wealth inequality is even more egregious. According to a 2017 report from the Institute for Policy Studies, the three wealthiest Americans at the time, Jeff Bezos, who has since become the world's first multi-centibillionaire, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett, collectively held more wealth than the bottom 50% of the population, or some 160 million people. Experts say it is no accident that the period in which the yawning, ever-growing chasm between rich and poor began coincides with the rise of corporatist and neoliberal economic policies, colloquially dubbed trickle-down economics, implemented by conservative leaders including British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and President Ronald Reagan in the U.S. Thomas Piketty, a French economist whose work focuses on economic inequality and who authored the seminal book Capital in the 21st Century and the recently published Capital and Ideology, says the coronavirus pandemic presents an opportunity for U.S. leaders to finally make a serious attempt to address income disparities. we have to revisit some of our ideologies, some of what we believe is the conventional wisdom at a given point in time, Piketty told Hill TV last week. I think we should use this opportunity to develop more social state, social policies in general, by which I mean a better income support mechanism, safety net, and better access to education. There is nothing natural in the way the economy is organized, Piketty continued. It's all a matter of political choices, of ideology. I think it's important to send a message to working America and to low-wage America that you can have economic justice together with economic prosperity. Piketty implored the incoming administration of Joe Biden to embrace egalitarian economic policies espoused by progressives such as ex-presidential primary rivals Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, including a tax on billionaires, which he said is actually pretty popular if you look at the polls. I think you need to have a more ambitious policy platform of giving a better chance to more disadvantaged socioeconomic groups, Piketty said. We are talking about a higher minimum wage, more investment in public universities, more progressive taxation at the top. I think it will be a big mistake for the Democratic Party leadership to abandon this kind of idea, he added. Standing in stark contrast to what economists like Piketty say must be done to combat inequality, the administration of President Donald Trump, who has boasted of giving billionaires a $1.5 trillion tax break, said this week that it supports Senate Republicans' proposal to freeze the wages of the more than 2 million people who work for the federal government.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.